Hallelujah. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I've been the captain of excuses my whole life, so I can discern them. Because I can see it clearly. I can see it. Logic, it sets in. And then when logic sets in, it makes sense. And then that sense becomes your truth. And you walk in that truth habitually because that logic has become your doctrine. Been there. No one's ever left church more than me on Wednesdays. Ever. Ever. No one's ever missed Sundays like me back in the days, 8, 9 years ago. I did it. And I didn't feel bad because that was a light inside of me, which was darkness. You with me? Glory. I think we can all relate to that a little bit, right? Somewhat. We all can. I get excited about church, man. And I'm going to keep coming. I'll tell you what excited me the other day. My little granddaughter, Jalen. She calls herself now Jalen Ray the Boss. That's what she calls herself. And she's African American, but she talks like she's straight up country. Right? I heard Alex. No? Or was it you, Carl, that I heard? And she's straight out country. Guampa. What, baby? Why you can't see? I don't know why I can't see, baby. Why you don't know? I don't know. Why? She always answers the question with a question, always. I said, baby, I'm going to see you again. When? I will one day. Grandpa, you going to see you again at the church? I said, yeah, I'm going to see you at the church, baby. Grandpa, can I be there when you see? Oh, my God. Can I be there when you see? You don't think kids know anything. But they know what goes. She knows what's supposed to go on in church. When you see Grandpa, can I be there? I'll say, oh, baby, you can be there. Oh, man, you know, that makes me fight even more. Grandpa, can I be there? Now, the other one. Whew. Grandpa, what, baby? Jalen being mean. What'd you do, Mia? Nothing. Jalen comes with a big old bite on her back. Mia, did you bite Jalen? It was an accident. So you accidentally bit her in the back, and then Jalen will take up for her. It was an accident, Grandpa. And then they hug each other. They're inseparable. They're inseparable. But these girls, they ministered me so much, and I learned so much from them. Amen. Glory. Pastor Bronk, I did talk to him right before church started. They got in about 15 minutes ago. And they were unpacking. I guess they got set back by Michael. So they're here. Miss Candy made it back. But we're going to have a lot of fun today, man. A lot of fun today. So we're going to pray. And then you guys can give me my... No, I'm going to exhort first. And then we're going to break. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your words. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for the Holy Ghost, Father. Thank you so much for the Holy Ghost. So much. Oh my God. The truth and the truth we see, Father. Without the Holy Ghost, we cannot behold it. We cannot behold it, Father, without the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, for the teacher, the Holy Spirit. I thank you for your word and for my brothers, which I love, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk about endurance a little bit. We got a little prophecy to read. But I'm going to share this. I thought I had walked into this accidentally the other day. I thought it was an accident. I was going through the Bible. And then I was trying to find a particular book in the Bible. But I came across Esther. And I talked about it a little bit the other day. But it wasn't quite ready to be talked about. Because I forgot the most vital part of it. But I went back to it a couple of times. And I thought it was by accident that I found Esther. But then I realized that has everything to do with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the book of James. Everything to do with it. Would you say, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the book of Esther. Would any of you say that she was in a trial? Would any of you say that? Tremendous trial. Tremendous. Now, Esther did not have the engrafted word because she was not what? Born again. So somebody was sharing an external word with her. And I said to myself, why is this lady Queen Esther married a king, Hazazir, I believe his name was. How was she able to do what she did? I mean, you really got to go into the book to see the mind of Christ. And when you're praying the Holy Ghost a lot, you'll see a lot of things real quick. You'll see him quick. And I said, what is it about her that the Holy Ghost thought it proper and necessary to write a book about her? And the revelation of it was incredible to me. It might be simple to you, but it was incredible to me. Incredible. And we're going to talk about endurance. I'm going to paraphrase what I'm going to share with you. I'm not able to teach it yet, but I can exhort certain parts of Esther. And I see what this lady did, and I'm in awe. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what was it? What was it about her that did what she did? And then I felt like I had gone out of the scope of what I was asking the Holy Ghost. And then I began to remember in my mind, no one that ever loved money, no one that ever pursued money has done anything in the kingdom of God. Think about that now. I'm not talking about anybody that's made money. That's not what I'm saying. But anybody that pursued money or mammon outside of Christ has never done anything in the kingdom of God. Never. Never, ever, ever. Zacchaeus, when he came off the tree, what did he do? He was a tax collector. He said, whatever I've stolen from people, what did he say? I'll pay it back fourfold. Solomon, the richest man ever, did he ask for money? No, he asked for wisdom. Christ, the perfect prototype, he was offered all the kingdoms of the world. And he what? Said no. Rebuked that very thought. You have three. You have so many. No one that ever did anything in the kingdom of God was hungry for money. No one, not one. And the one that loved money, that was filled with covetousness, betrayed him for 30 shekels of silver. 30 shekels of silver. It led me to this, to Esther. We know that she was interceding for the Jews. Basically, Haman talked the king, Hazazir, into making a decree that all the Jews should be extinct from the world. He wanted every Jew killed, every one of them. So Haman convinced King Hazazir to make this decree. And once this decree was made, it was sealed with a signet ring and you couldn't change it. But he talked King Hazazir into doing this. One thing about Esther, she was extremely meek. Everything that Mordecai told her to do, she what? She did. James says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Well, she received with meekness the external word from Mordecai. And she was in the trial of her life, because Mordecai said, look, you are the queen now. Go before the king and tell him about this. See if something could be done. But she knew that you couldn't go before the king in the inner court. If you went without an invitation, you would be killed. And she reflected back to Mordecai those thoughts. He said, look, I'm paraphrasing. If I go before the king without being summoned, I could be killed. He wanted her to go, him being a Jew and Esther being his daughter through the death of her dad. And he adopted her in. That was really her uncle, but he adopted her in. And he said, look, if you think that you're going to be spared from this annihilation of the Jews, you're wrong. Who's to say that you weren't here for this very reason, Esther? So he convinced her to go in. She sent a message back to Mordecai. She says, I will go. She said this, if I perish, I perish. A spiritually dead woman in the trial of her life, meek, because she heard the external word from Mordecai and she did it. She could have easily disannulled if she was a queen. Chapter 1 of Esther tells you the riches that this man, he owned countries. His kingdom was filled with countries. You read chapter 1 of Esther, it tells how he was loaded with money. He made Donald Trump look like a little chump. Loaded. He owned countries, man. Countries. So he said, okay, I'll go on behalf of the Jews to King Hazazir. And I'll tell him of what Haman has conspired. And Haman was second in command under King Hadadezer. He was a powerful man. He said, I'll go. I'll go, Mordecai, on behalf of the Jews. I'll go. He hadn't summoned me in 30 days, Mordecai, but I'm going to go. And if I perish, I perish. I'm almost done with this little exhortation. So she walked into the inner court. They say she was a beautiful woman, beautiful woman. As soon as he saw her, he put out the golden scepter. And once he did that, then you could petition the king for whatever you wanted. She touched the top of the scepter. This is the part that got me, man. I love it. Backing up again what the Holy Ghost showed me about people striving for money outside of a relationship with Jesus Christ. She went to him. She touched the golden scepter. He said to her, whatever you want, paraphrasing my lady, I will give you up to half of my kingdom. I'll give you half of my kingdom. She didn't even respond because she knew she had a vision. And what Pastor Bronx says is so true. The only way that you can be distracted from your vision is to give you another one. She had the opportunity to receive half of a kingdom. But what she had in her heart was to go before the king to save the Jews. Now, if I was Esther, Rosie, Elijah, Nathaniel, I love you with all my heart, but I'm finna get a kingdom. 3 times before she even told her demand, 3 times he mentioned the same thing. I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. She never even responded to him. Never responded. No dialogue back regarding what the kingdom was worth. She didn't pursue what he offered. She pursued what she was there to do, called to intercede for the Jews. Money could have been there. She could have searched for that money outside of what she's called to do, and the Jewish race would have completely been annihilated. She had a vision to intercede for the Jews. Why was she so successful? Because she did not love money. She didn't love it. She didn't pursue it. Proof, she could have had half, maybe a trillion or two. This guy was loaded, loaded, loaded. Why Christ, or why the Holy Ghost had this dictation and it was written about her? Because she was meek, like James. She received Mordecai's external word, and she was in the trial of her life. She endured it. If the love of money is anywhere in us, we will never, ever, 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 ever do anything in God's kingdom. She had an opportunity to take half of his kingdom. Didn't even respond to what he offered. Not one time, 3 times, he said, whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom. The cups that they drank out of were made of gold. The couches were of gold and silver. He was loaded. But she did not serve mammon. She was not full of covetousness. She didn't chase it. Proof, the Jews were completely, completely saved from the attack of Haman. She ended up being a queen. Mordecai was second in command. Why did she fulfill all this? Because she did not love money and she did not pursue it. You think about it, maybe $5-6 trillion. Just saying. And she didn't pursue it. Why? Because she loved her brethren, the Jews. Don't let money or the pursuit of money, don't entangle yourself with it. You'll never fulfill what God has called you to do. Don't let overtime snag you. If you pursue Jesus, it'll be easy to make the money that you're called to do as an entrepreneur. But if you don't pursue Jesus, you're going to be filled with ideas to make the money that God said he'll give you if you just follow him, if you're an entrepreneur. You can't love money. You'll never fulfill what God told you to do. Never. If you love money, you cannot. Now I know clearly what the Bible says. The love of money is the root of all evil. She could have gone to the right and chased money. But she had a vision. She had to stand before the king and ask for his mercy regarding the Jews so they would not be completely destroyed by the hand of Haman. She could have easily gone to the right, man. Easily gone to the right. I mean, half of a kingdom. I can't even fathom that, to be honest with you. You want to talk about endurance? You want to talk about receiving with meekness an external word? The meekness was in her to do all that Mordecai said. She was in a trial of her life, but she said, if I die, I die. But I will intercede on the behalf of my people. Mordecai, I will do what you said. I will go before the king, and if I perish, I perish. And when she went before the king, he offered her half of his kingdom. Half of his kingdom he offered her, and she did not pursue money. Think about it. It's kind of hard to fathom what half of his kingdom would have been. But she kept focus, laser focused. She fulfilled what God called her to do because she did not serve money and she did not love money. Yet when it was all said and done, she had more money than she knew what to do with. She was loaded to the end because she didn't strive for it. She didn't work for it. She didn't have ideas for it. She did what God told her to do, and her wealth was in abundance because she set God first in her life. She didn't pursue money and she didn't love it. If she loved it and would have pursued it, the Jews would have been annihilated. Because of her obedience, because of her meekness, she fulfilled what God called her to do. And that's just a little bit of it, because it is lining up with what I'm going to teach on today on endurance and meekness. Kirsten, give Kirsten that letter, baby. Please, that prophecy. I want Kirsten to come up and read this prophecy about endurance. It was given to me by Barbara Fish. I think it's one of the first prophecies ever come out of the prayer center, and it's about endurance, which is what I've been teaching on. So give her that, please, that prophecy, and come up and read that, Kirsten, please.
First meeting in the prayer center, March 2nd, 1989. When you have done all you know to do to stand, stand therefore, saith the Spirit of grace. For truly I desire by my power to shake this place. For taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit. And again, I would say, when you have done all you know to do, stand, stand therefore. The key word shall be endurance, says the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desired will in this place. For I will train you, says the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. For if you will pray and make it past those hard places, I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will at last produce power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out of you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf. For I'll show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for an eternity. They will last. So I'm giving you equipment that will work a great reward. For many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave and stand strong, says the Spirit of grace. I will work mighty, mighty miracles before you before this is done. You will not lose your place, for your reward shall be exceedingly great. So heed what the Spirit will say, for something now I begin this day. For great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, and I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place you have known about way down deep in your spirit, that from the foundations of the world I have prepared for you. So as I lead you from place to place, I desire to flow through you with grace. And if you will edify and edify and edify yourself, you will see before this is through, I will purge you from everything that is causing you to fail. You will not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in a circumference around you. Oh, for edification, 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 higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those around that are bound to be set free. For Satan is furious, said the Spirit of grace. He is already mad and is as a whirlwind, is stirring up the demons against this place. but stand fast and edify yourself into a place with me. And when the storm comes, you will be delivered. Oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. So be glad for the wellsprings of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out, for there is many matters of wisdom that I desire for you to understand. For I will teach you to walk in power. For my children, the thing between what I desire and what is now taking place is being purged every hour. For many people come to this town for training, you see. And oh, I desire to give them full training, that they may leave in my power. So all of you who said, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. For I'll bring you into that place with me. Yes, for I'll bring you into that place with me.
Amen. I tell you, endurance, endurance. And I'm sure, and I know you will agree with me, if Dave was still teaching, he said edification, edification, edification. If he was still teaching, he would be saying do, do, do. Promise you he'd be saying that. Because we see that now as a vital part. Actually, he's been there forever. But he would also say do, do, do. That's what the entire conference was about. Nathan said everybody was preaching the same thing. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. I tell you, so much truth in that prophetic word. He said, great miracles will be working. I can see that clearly, because endurance is worked, or endurance is something that we do during persecution and tribulation. And the end result of endurance is faith. We're going to name this teaching, Marty, the prayer of faith. I told Kirsten to get the mic because I want everybody to hear what I'm going to minister on. We're going to just go back a little bit on next week, but more on what we did last week, but more into detail. I promise you're going to like it. If you have ears to hear, you're going to like this. It's the true way of growing in faith. I've seen it, and it just praying in the Holy Ghost over and over again, and I was so edified by it. So edified by it. But endurance has a lot to do with doing. It has almost everything to do with doing. If you don't do, you're not going to endure. Because endurance is doing, holding up to that challenge in your life. You stand firm, and you continue the prayer process. You continue reading. You continue fasting. You continue praying in the Holy Ghost. You continue all them things that helps us endure. But ultimately, even without those things, you still can endure. It's a matter of just gnashing your teeth sometimes. Kirsten, so can you read that to me, for me, please?
Yes. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer.
One more verse.
Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest
there you go,
with
there.
Us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from
That's
heaven.
Good. All right. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, the region of Macedonia. This is called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. There isn't two kind of faith in this world. There's one. Only one faith. There's not a faith for obedience and then a faith for revival. There's not two different faiths. There's one faith. The same faith that you overcome the deeds of the flesh with, the same faith that you overcome Satan with, is the same faith that takes us into revival. Only one faith. But the faith that takes us into revival is a faith that endures. You got to get that. Well, I'm contending for revival. If you're walking in consistency, no, you're not. Well, I'm about revival. If you ain't about obedience, you ain't about revival. Period. I don't care what you say. I'm about revival. I'm about raising the dead. If you ain't about loving Jesus, he's going to try to raise you out of your slumber. Let me tell you right now, you're not in revival if you're not walking according to kingdom principles. You're not. You've misled yourself. You can't put the cart before the horse. Paul here is writing to the church, to the Thessalonians. It's a city in the region of Macedonia. He's boasting about them. Can you read verse 3 again, Kirsten, with the mic? verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other.
Stop right there. And then just keep your place there. He said, it's fitting. It's deserving. In the Greek, it's deserving that I write something to you. Your faith is growing exceedingly. Remember, the same faith that's growing exceedingly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is the same faith that James tells us to go call the elders of the church. Tell them to anoint the sick person with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The same Greek word in 2 Thessalonians 1 and the same Greek word 12 times in James. Same Greek word. There's not two different faiths. There's a faith that obeys, and that same faith that obeys is the same faith that anoints me to raise the dead. We can't get confused. So he's writing, he said, it's fitting. It's fitting for me to write to you because your faith is exceedingly growing. You are deserving of this. Now, what an awesome thing to be commended by the Apostle Paul. Wouldn't you think? He said, your faith, it's growing exceedingly. This is the part that I forgot to mention last Wednesday. And the love for each other abounds. Listen to what he said now. If you can't walk in love, you have no faith. Because faith worketh by what, according to Galatians? Faith worketh by love. So he's commending them. He said, you're growing in love, and your faith, it's growing exceedingly. A quantum leap, man. It's growing exceedingly. I want my faith to grow exceedingly. Don't you? Certainly want it to grow exceedingly. This is what he says. It's deserving. I, Paul, I'm boasting about you because your faith is growing exceedingly. Well, if their faith is growing exceedingly and they're being commended by Paul, I want to know what they are doing for their faith to grow exceedingly. Well, don't you want to know? He says, your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love for one another, it abounds. Your love for one another abounds. Your faith is growing exceedingly. So can my faith grow exceedingly outside of love? Can it? Don't be scared. It cannot grow. If you think you have faith in hatred, you are in error and walking in darkness. He said, your faith is growing exceedingly. Your love for one another, it abounds in faith. What did he say in the red? I don't want to miss a lick on this. I want to get it all right. After that, what's it say, Kirsten?
Your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God.
He said, we're boasting about you in the churches of God because your faith and your patience is growing. Well, how does your faith and patience grow? He said, you are in tribulation. You are in persecution. Your faith is growing exceedingly. Your love for one another, it abounds. This is the thing. This wasn't an everyday operation in their life. They were facing death. Esther was facing death. Jesus faced death because of his faith. Now they were being persecuted and tribulation by people. So they were enduring that persecution and that tribulation. People were bringing pressure on them because they were believers. Isn't it amazing that in this persecution and tribulation, the Bible says they endured. And Paul said, when you endured the hatred from the world, your faith was growing exceedingly, and the love for one another, it abounded in this hatred towards you. You endured it. Your faith grew exceedingly in the midst of persecution, in the midst of tribulation. You did not waver. Esther did not waver. She said, if I die, I die. Paul said, your faith is growing exceedingly, and the love for one another, it abounds. When did it abound? When did my faith grow? When you were in persecution and tribulation, you endured it. You weren't there passively, but you kept praying. You kept plowing. You kept loving, and your faith grew exceedingly. Remember, The name of this teaching is the prayer of faith. James chapter 5, the prayer of faith. There ain't but one kind of faith in this world, and that's faith through God in Christ Jesus and in a continual life of obedience. He said, I'm boasting about you, Carl. I'm boasting about you, Sarah. Your faith is growing exceedingly. It's going from here to here. Well, how, James? I'm telling you, it's because, how, Paul? Because you're facing persecution, you're facing tribulation, and you're enduring it. Next verse, Kirsten, please.
Which is of manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer.
Stop. Paul says, because of your faith is growing exceedingly, you're doing it, you're suffering for the kingdom. You're obeying the principles of the kingdom. So if I don't obey the principles of the principles of the kingdom, will I be worthy of the kingdom of God? If you don't know that question, you're probably not born again. If I am not doing kingdom principles, will I be counted worthy of the kingdom of God? No, absolutely not. The fundamentalists say, be born again and you're safe. That's not what Paul said. Paul said, you got to endure. Endure for the kingdom's sake. You got to suffer for the kingdom's sake. If you endure, Matthew 24, to the end, you shall be saved. Greek word, sozo. He said, if you don't endure, you'll be cut off on the lifeline. He said, but if you endure the persecution and the tribulations from the world, they weren't just dealing with themselves like we do. We're not being persecuted from the world. We can't handle each other. We can't handle the brethren. The biggest problems I've had in my life have been with three people in this church. Three. One, I don't even know why. One called my boss on me like 8 years ago. I don't know why. And then another person, their son fell and they wanted me to fall too. And it's amazing that the world is not persecuting me. The world is not persecuting you yet. We just deal with everyday affairs in life without persecution and without tribulation. But he says that their faith is growing exceedingly because they endure the hatred from the world. Well, you got to grasp that. Me and Carl we're going to the movies. I paid for the movies. He's supposed to pay for the food. He didn't pay for the food. We get in an argument. We don't talk for 3 months over a meal. That's what we suffer with. Really? Somebody walks by you in church, they don't say hi to you. That's what we suffer with. You're not going to endure because you're already in the wrong. What you endure is what the hatred that the world brings towards you. And then your faith grows exceedingly. You take a quantum leap of faith immediately because you endure the hatred, the tribulation, and the persecution from the world. And your love for them in the persecution and the tribulation, your love for them grows exceedingly. You don't waver. You endure because you know there's a higher calling in this world. You know what you're called to do. You're called to magnify the King. Esther saw the higher calling in her life. She didn't chase mammon, fiery trial. She was facing death. But she said, if I perish, I perish. That's what these Jews were saying. If we perish, we perish. We will fulfill our ministry in God. Your faith grows exceedingly only when we endure. If you don't endure, there is no faith. If you feel you have to hurt somebody all the time, if you feel you have to defend yourself all the time, you're not walking in faith. If you feel that you have to cheat on your wife once a year, I had a guy tell me one time, I love Jesus, but you know, I'm a little bit on the side sometimes. I said, oh my God, you can't be serious. You cannot, and he was dead serious. I love Jesus, I go to church. But you know, every once in a while, that's far from faith. That's spiritual death, man. So our faith grows exceedingly in endurance. Pressure from the world. Our faith grows exceedingly He said, the sufferings that we go through, they're for the kingdom's sake. When you endure the suffering for the kingdom's sake, he said, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. So if I'm not living according to the kingdom, I'm not suffering for the kingdom. If I'm not suffering for the kingdom, I'm not enduring for the kingdom. If I'm not enduring for the kingdom, I will not be counted worthy on that day. Absolutely not. I have learned this. This is where we have to go. This is what we have to, we have to comprehend this. This you have to understand. You have to comprehend this. You have to. When emotions run high, we know about that, don't we? When usually, when emotions run high, obedience runs very low. That's what defeats Christians. When emotions run high, obedience usually runs very low. That's when we stop enduring. I faced something today before church, the same symptom that's trying to come upon me that came upon me last Wednesday. And what I preach came to my remembrance today. I was outside, even shed a tear or two with pain. But in endurance, there's a corresponding action. Instead of sitting there, I did for a little bit. Oh my God, I can't believe this. I had a corresponding action. You know what I did? I was feeling pain on my body, my head. I went and got on the treadmill, did 4.5 miles. That was my corresponding action that I felt at the time, and everything went away. I wasn't going to stay there feeling sorry for myself, like a little old sissy, feeling sorry for myself. The emotions were high, but my obedience was going to be high too. My obedience was not going to be low. I took a corresponding action, got my butt up, put my tennis shoes on, take me to the gym. That's why my heart was beating fast when I got here. I did about 4.5 miles. That was my corresponding action, along with confession of the word. My faith grew a little bit there because I didn't stay there idle, feeling sorry for myself. Our faith grows with endurance. I could have been home tonight, not preaching, because I had a little pain in the back of my head. No. The only way you'll grow in faith when you face something is by defeating what you're facing. Because if you never defeat it, you'll never have the faith to defeat it tomorrow. But if you defeat it today, you'll know you can beat it tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day. And before you know it, you're completely set free from that field because you stood your ground and you endured it in the name of Jesus Christ. I can't understand. Well, yes, I can. I was going to get into judgment there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He checked me. He checked me real good. Thank you, Lord. It's a good when he checks you like that and when you hear it. He said, the world hates you. I'm going to prove it in the next verse. The world hates you. You're suffering persecution and tribulations at their hand. But I see you, Family Prayer Center. I see you, Gay, that your faith grows exceedingly and your love to one another abounds. Gay, Marty, Ralph, I see you. I see what the world's putting you through, and I see you enduring the hell that the world's putting you through. I see that you're growing in exceeding grace, and I'm going to call you out because it's deserving. I'm going to exalt you because it's deserving. You're in a place of faith where I can use you now because your faith is growing exceedingly. And what's the next verse after that, Kirsten, after what you just read?
Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you.
Stop. Okay, here, and then we're going to go to James. He said, it's a righteous thing with God. This is how I know they weren't facing each other in a day-to-day application. He said, it's a righteous thing with God. In other words, what they were facing was not what we're facing here without pressure from the world. We're not facing pressure from the world. Right now, it's verbal, but trust me, they want to get physical with us. They want to get real physical with us because we are conservative. If I believe the Bible and I'm beaten for that, just don't punch me too hard. Because punches, they hurt. But they were going through persecution and tribulation at the hands of the world. How do you know that, Homer? Read that next verse again, Kirsten.
Since it's a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you.
Stop. It's a righteous thing with God to repay with what tribulation? Those that trouble you. Those is the key word. Those were persecuting them and they were suffering tribulation at the hand of those. We're not facing those right now. Those were persecuting the church. And Paul said, look, it's a righteous thing with God to repay tribulation on those that trouble you. I see what's going on, Family Prayer Center. Those are troubling you by tribulation. I see that. It's a righteous thing with me to bring vengeance on them that trouble you by giving them tribulation. When? After that day. Not now. Not now. He said, it's a righteous thing with God to repay those with tribulation that trouble you. That day of rest is going to come when he comes back. Until then, those that are troubling us, he will repay back with tribulation, but after the day when he comes back. That's why he's long-suffering. That's why he's telling me and you to abound in love and in faith, because those that are persecuting me and you, those also deserve the blood of Jesus Christ. And he needs me and you to extend that blood. And if we live how they live, there is no differential. But it's a righteous thing with God to repay those that trouble us by giving them tribulation. And so we got to let our light. He doesn't rejoice in giving them tribulation. That's why he has us here to keep them from being judged by letting our light shine like a city set on a hill. And that faith that grows exceedingly and the love for each other abounds if we endure. If we don't endure, nothing abounds. We don't walk worthy of the kingdom of God. And if we watch it, we won't enter the kingdom of God. Now I know why Matthew says that few will be therein that enter that gate. It's narrow. It's not broad. It's narrow. So I judge myself. I judge myself. We're quick to offend. We're not growing in exceeding faith. If we're quick to take an offense, we're not growing in exceeding faith. We're not abounding towards love towards one another, because we're not even enduring ourselves. These guys were enduring themselves and enduring those. You with me on that? If I'm quick to gossip, I'm not growing in faith. I'm not abounding in love to one another. If I cheat on my wife, I'm not abounding in faith exceedingly. I'm not growing in love, because I'm not enduring. I can't even endure temptation, much less endure the pressure from the world. If I'm quick to steal as a Christian, I'm not growing exceedingly in faith. I'm not abounding in love to each other, because I'm not enduring the temptation. Growing in faith and walking in love and abounding toward each other is when we endure ourselves, we endure temptation, and we even go about enduring those that hate us for our faith. That is biblical faith, man. If you walk as a, and I'm starting to believe something a little different about James. I'm starting to believe that the diverse temptation in James were the Judaizers that were coming in and putting pressure on him. But I can't preach that yet because I don't have the full understanding of it. But faith is produced through enduring. Faith is endured through obedience, or it grows exceedingly in us through obedience. James chapter 5. Remember I said the word faith doesn't have, there's not two definitions of the word faith. There's one. The same faith that grows exceedingly because I endure and obey, it's the same faith that James chapter 5 talks about. Now, the word faith is 12 times mentioned in the book of James. Now, what is faith? Well, you know what? It describes what faith is the 11 times before it mentioned it, the 12th time in James chapter 5. Faith is enduring diverse temptation. Faith, James chapter 2, is not holding the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Faith is hearing God's word, doing God's word. And faith is made perfect. He gives us definition after definition what it is to walk in biblical faith. And he uses the same Greek word in James 5 that says, is any one of you sick? Let him call for the elders. Pastor Bronk should be able to call me, Gay, Marty, Ralph, Barbara, Kirsten. He should be able to call us at any minute. He said, okay, crew, Generals, we're in revival here. You know I can't leave. We can't stop this. Barbara, go. Go to Singapore. They're asking for it. They're hungry. They want the gospel. Go. He's been able to tell me, Homer, I need you to go to Afghanistan. They're hungry. There's a village there that wants revival. There's a million people sick there. Go. I should be able to go to Afghanistan, lay my hands on people, and they should recover if my faith is growing exceedingly. He said, is any one of you sick? Let him pray. No, is any one of you sick? Let him call. Let the one that's sick call on the elders of the church. Let them call me and the other elders of the church, and let them, the elders, let them anoint the sick person with oil. And the prayer of faith, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The prayer of faith in the elders. We can't blame sick people anymore. I got to look at me. And the prayer of faith that the saints pray or the elders pray, that makes the sick person well. There's a lot of responsibility and heat on me in a good way. The same faith that I'm to obey in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is the same faith that carries me to a place of anointing, that when I pray for the sick, they should rise up every single time, because I'm praying the prayer of faith. If they don't rise up, I'm not praying the prayer of faith, and I need to make an adjustment somewhere. If I am an elder, I should pray the prayer of faith, and that sick person, it should rise up immediately in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The elders there were, because he said, call on the elders. They prayed the prayer of faith, and people were getting healed. Now, I'm not beating me up, and I'm not beating you up, but I got a ways to go, my friend. He defined faith as one that endured temptation and received the crown of life. He called faith one that's tempted for his faith and worked it out with patience. He called faith, James 2, chapter 1, verse 1, brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with partiality. Maybe they're not coming up out of that wheelchair because I got some partiality in me. Maybe I'm not working, looking into that law of liberty and keeping saying things that I need to keep. That's faith. If I was, shouldn't I be able to go to someone that's sick as an elder? Pray the prayer of faith. And the Bible says, if I pray the prayer of faith, the prayer of conviction, the prayer of obedience, he said, that sick person should rise up, and the Lord. No, that sick person should be saved, and the Lord should rise him up. It's on us, man. So if there's only one definition of the word faith, and the word faith in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 is the same word faith that's in James chapter 1 through 5, 12 times it mentioned faith, then for me to preach that prayer of faith, I have to grow in exceeding great faith. Something's happening somewhere. Somewhere it's happening. Well, I can't even overcome myself, because those in the world, they're not pressuring me right now. I'm able to eat anywhere I want to in the USA still. I'm able to. I'm able to worship God here without being killed. So are you. So those on the outside aren't pressuring us. We can't even deal with ourselves to an extent. You know what? Let me rephrase. I can't even deal with myself. I don't know where you're at. I can't assume where you're at. You might be walking closer to God than me. That's good. I want to take counsel from you. I'm judging myself as an elder in this church. The Bible says, call on Homer. He's an elder. Let him anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith out of Homer's mouth shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. All he needs from me is a prayer of faith. He does the raising up, buddy. He just needs me to walk in enough mercy, compassion, to want to. The sick person that's there, do I love my brother next to him that hates me? If I got a problem with my brother that's next to him that hates me, the one that's sick, he's going to stay sick. because I'm double-minded. So faith, it grows exceedingly in obedience. If there is no obedience, then there is no exceeding great faith. If there's no love towards one another abounding, there is no faith, exceeding great faith. But if I decide that I am a bondservant, and I decide to yield to all that is right, regardless of what I feel, regardless of the emotions running high, my obedience will run high too and not low. We have to make our mind. The reason this seems so strange to us is because we don't quite yet esteem ourselves as bondservants. But if we esteem ourselves as bondservants and we work at it, man. I tell you, the Bible says, James said, you'd call the elders of the church. You call them. You call the elders, the mature ones of the church. Let them, the elder, anoint the sick person with oil in faith. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And you know what? The lifestyle of faith will get the unregenerate person born again. It's the same faith, man. Same exact faith. So don't scratch your head. Don't scratch your head as to why things aren't happening. Well, blah, blah, blah. Pastor Bob's been preaching a revival. You're just frustrated with yourself because your faith isn't growing exceedingly because you're probably walking in hate. Don't get mad at Pastor Bronk. That's the deadest, most awesome man that I know. I'm going to get mad at me. I had a brother, and I'm done. I had a brother call me yesterday in so much pain. I didn't know what to say, man. I didn't know what to say. I said, let me pray. I didn't know what to say. I was outside lifting weights. I just bent over like this, and oh, my God, I was so frustrated with me. With me. He said, Homer, I'm losing hope. I said, man, brother, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I've been there, man, for a month. I wanted to take my life. So much pain in my left eye where they cut my eye open. And I went in seeing to the eye doctor. I came out blind. Seeing. I could see objects. I came out blind. Why didn't you sue him? Because that's not what Christians do. We don't sue. I developed a relationship with that man. He became my friend. You think I'm going to sue him because he tried to get me better? I was crying. True compassion came over me. True compassion. I went right into my closet again, just weeping. I don't know what else to do. But I know now how to grow in exceeding great faith. Those in the world, I'm not in tribulation at their expense. I'm not in persecution at the expense of the world. I'm just dealing with Homer right now. That's a crying shame that we can fail when all we have to do is endure ourselves. The early church endured themselves and had to stand in endurance, told those without that wanted them dead. Nobody wants me dead now. Nobody wants you dead. All we do is deal with ourselves. And that seems to be something that the church can't overcome. The church is empty. It's empty of people, plainly, that have given over to logic. That logic has become their doctrine, and that doctrine has become true. Because they can't endure their own flesh. Their own flesh they can't endure. We're not even feeling pressure from those on the outside that God's going to repay with tribulation because they brought us into tribulation. We're not even facing that, man. We're not facing what the early church was facing, yet he told the elders that were facing what the early church is facing. He said, you go to those elders that have faced what you're facing. They're going to lay hands on you, and the prayer of faith out of their mouth will raise up the dead. The elders were doing it back then under persecution and tribulation. I'm not doing it now, not under persecution or tribulation. I'm not where I need to be. Facebook, I deleted it. I just deleted it. My brother's in pain, can't even walk, and I want to go there and post on Facebook. Either I'm going to go in or I'm not going to go in, man. Either I'm going to grow in exceeding faith or I'm not in exceeding faith, or I'm not going to grow in exceeding faith. Either I'm going to love my brother and abound more in that love, or I'm not. Now, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. That's my conviction. I'm not telling you that's yours. That's mine. I was reading too much into it. I deleted it. Christians getting mad over a football game on Facebook? Come on, man. If you get mad because your team loses, you ain't nowhere growing in exceeding great, in exceeding faith. You're not growing in faith if the loss of your team bothers you and you got to go back and forth on Facebook because your team lost. I was like that. I don't even get mad over my football team. Because I used to break TVs, put holes in the wall. I broke out my gun one time. That's why my faith was stagnant, man. It was stagnant. But my faith, obedience to the inner man, obedient to the word of God, when I obey that, I work the work, and my faith is perfected. This is a lifestyle, not a once a week occasion. Barbara, go. There's a women's retreat in Tampa. A lot of sick women are going to be there. Go. She should be able to go immediately. Kirsten, Terry, Gay, Rosie, go. They're sick. They need someone to lay hands on them. You go, Barbara. I know that you endure. I know that you seek first the kingdom of God. When you offer or utter the prayer of faith, they will get up. Same thing for me. I could go right now to Plainview, Texas and start a church, and I could grow it tremendously because I preach loud. People like that. But I do the same thing over there that I'm doing here. But here, I'm under an awesome teacher. I've had chances to preach at other churches. I don't want to go and just offer words, man. There's sick people everywhere. Yes, it's good to preach doctrine, and we got it here. God, we do. But as I obey that doctrine, my faith grows exceedingly. And the love for one another, it abounds in context when they on the outside persecute me. And I go through tribulation at their expense and I endure it. That's the kind of faith that grows exceedingly, that will take me to be an elder, to lay hands on the sick. And the prayer of faith, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the exceeding great prayer of faith will raise up the sick. Faith is being poor. James says, you're poor, your faith should be rich. How's your faith rich? By loving your neighbor as yourself. He said, that's rich faith. Partial faith is when you're partial towards your brother. But you're poor, meaning you're poor in spirit. You're supposed to love the poor. You're supposed to do good to the poor. That's rich faith when I love my brother as myself. That's rich faith. That's the kind of faith that'll take me into a manifestation of God's kingdom at the expense of my hands. Because I offer the prayer of faith. I was there like a beat up puppy sitting on my bench all sweaty when my brother was in an excruciating pain. I didn't even know what to say, man. I'm doing good compared to him. He said, homeboy, I'm so discouraged, man. I'm discouraged. I've never gone to church in my life. I've done bad things, but I'm in church. I didn't even know what to say. I begin to check myself. What's got to go? What's got to go? Either we're bond servants or we're not. Either we come to church when the doors are open or we don't. I hate Homer. You might say, so do I. But I want my faith to grow exceedingly. I want my love for one another to abound. This is the thing. They did that under fiery trials. Esther did that under a fiery trial. She said, if I die, I die. That was the mindset of the apostles. We're going to carry out this gospel. We're going to endure. And if we die, we die. That's the faith. That's the faith. That's the faith of Christ that the Father needs working in me. Where Pastor Brown can tell me, Homer, go. They need you in Iraq. Go, son. Okay, Pastor Brown, I'll go. He should be able to trust me enough and to know that I can offer up the prayer of faith, and those Muslims or whatever they are, I can preach the gospel with boldness and power and anointing. My hands are so anointed. I offer up the prayer and faith, and we give them the little kids back from the dead. That's not per se. I'm not looking for glory. But true, exceeding faith and loving one another and abounding in it, that can't do nothing but produce James chapter 5. If we abide in this faith and our love abounds, chapter 5, going to the elders, them anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, that'll happen like I eat Whoppers, man. It's going to happen. It is absolutely going to happen without trying. That is the kingdom of God. You want the same exact thing, or else you wouldn't be here week in and week out. I know it. I know you. I know you. You just don't amen the message. You want it. You can hear it in Barbara's voice when she talks. You can hear it in Ralph's voice when he talks. You can hear it. You can feel it. When I talk to Kirsten and Terry, you can feel they're hungry. Marty and Gay, when you talk to them, you can feel it. 20 years we've been chasing this. But I do think the word do is going to take us through the finish line. Because we've waited for things just to fall off. It doesn't work like that, man. You can pray and fast till you're blue in the face. Once you get that revelation knowledge, it's up to you to wear it. You got to wear it, my friend. Wear it. You got to make that junk fall off. What junk? Any junk that you have in you that resists the gospel of the kingdom. We got to learn how to endure ourselves. We don't have to say it. We don't have to do it. Pastor Dave nailed it. As a born again believer, if you do it, you did it because you wanted to. If I did it because I was forced, then I wasn't even born again, man. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time tonight. The prayer of faith, Miss Gay, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I heard Miss Gay tell Pastor Brown when she got ordained, I want to be able to go into the back of the hospitals and just clear them out. But let's not make a mistake. That faith rises to the occasion as we love. And that love abounds in persecution and in tribulation. And if we endure, we're not facing that yet from those on the outside. Those that pressure them, they're going to get theirs. We don't rejoice in that. Neither does the Father, but that's their end result. So why be mean to them if they're going to be completely tormented for the rest of their life come that day? We just face ourselves. We got it easy. Easy, we got it. Easy. in comparison to them. Will it get that bad one day? Probably. Make no mistake, we are hated right now. But let's let those or them hate us, because we're growing in faith. A clash of two cultures, man, an unregenerate culture and a generate culture, a generated culture. Let's not let them hate us. See, they want us to fall. They want a reason to talk about us. Let's not give them a reason. The faith that it takes to see one healed from the sick, one raised from the dead, is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Or it's in the book of James. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When we endure temptation, the sum total of that is a crown of life. The simplicity of the gospel. Obey. Obey. Grow in faith by doing. Kingdom principles. By doing. Kingdom principles. We'll grow exceedingly in faith. I can offer no offense to you, or I don't grow in grace, or I don't grow in faith. I can't talk about you. I can't say a word about you. Because if I speak evil of you, I speak evil of the law. And I become a judge. I'm so discouraged, Homer. I've never been to church in my life. I'm discouraged. I sat there like a defeated puppy. Had to go into my mind to search for words to pray over him. But I'm striving, my friends. So are you. My brother Ralph, Barbara, all my brothers and sisters, God, I think more than ever I love you guys. I know I preach hard. I know I do. I know some of you get mad at me. I know you don't have to tell me you get mad. I know you do. My intention is never to be mean. My intention is this. Just come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. Now I know why Paul told Timothy, you must. He didn't give him an option. He gave him a commandment. You must. No option. This is what makes a bondservant. This is what makes a dime a dozen Christian. A bondservant and a dime a dozen Christian. A bondservant receives this instruction. You must endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you hold that as an option, you're not a bondservant. You're just a dime a dozen Christian. You must endure all things for the kingdom's sake. As a good soldier, you must endure. If you hold must as an option, you're not qualified. You're a Christian, but you're not qualified to be a bondservant. When you endure what you must endure, you are growing exceedingly in faith. Because you endure it for the kingdom's sake. Because you want the one that's persecuting you. You want him or her born again. That puts a smile on my daddy's face. Amen. 30 more seconds. I know Corey's not here, but I'll say it anyway. Corey, you believe me? No, Homer. My dad, for about 2 or 3 Wednesdays in a row, a while back, he's struggling with some stuff in his mind right now. He would get lost. It seemed like every Wednesday he got lost. You know, we'd have to leave church. That's why I bring my phone to church, because of my dad. About three Sundays in a row, I mean three Wednesdays, I'm sorry, he got lost. My boys would say, Dad, we can't find Grandpa. I said, all right, let's go. My boy Elijah, he's helped me a lot, so much with my dad. So much with him, my big boy. My kids are real good with him. He got lost, and this made me cry. Homer, you cry all the time? I know. One more time won't hurt nothing. We found him. I said, Dad, you know, man, you can't drive at night, Dad. It's not night, son. It's daytime. It was 9 o'clock at night. I didn't argue with him. I knew what he was facing. I said, why do you leave, Dad? Why do you leave? You know you can't leave. You know what he said? Oh, it killed me. And if it made me feel good, though. Because I knew if I got lost, son, I knew you'd come find me. In the state that he was in, he said, I know if I got lost, son, I know you'd find me. He has faith in me because I found him two times prior. And if he got lost tomorrow, I'd find him again. That's what God's looking for in us. Hold on to your integrity, man. Grow in exceeding faith. Have love one to another in abundance. Amen. Because the end result is a manifestation of the kingdom of God. Amen. How is that, Mr. Ralph? Glory. Glory. Father, we bless you. We praise you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. We don't beat ourselves up, but there's a godly anger inside of us saying, we want more. Show us those areas that we are to lay down, my Father. Show me, Lord. Show me. And my brothers and my sisters and the mothers and fathers here of the faith, they have the same mind, Father. There's a few of us, Lord. There's a few of us here that don't give in to logic. There's a few of us here that don't give in to complacency, Father. But we endure hard times. We endure ourselves. Because we see, and we read, and we know in truth what you want on this earth. What you're asking of us, Father, to grow in exceeding faith and to abound with love one to another. And to endure all things for the kingdom's sake, Father. So I worship you. I praise you, Father. You are so wonderful. My brothers and sisters, they're so wonderful. Be an honor to go to battle with them, Father, by my side. An honor. An honor to cry with them. It's an honor to be victorious with them. It's an honor to humble myself with them. It's an honor to spend time with them, Father. I love you. I worship you, Lord. And we so look forward to Sunday morning for hearing from our pastor and from Miss Candy, Lord. I'm sure he's coming back more full than he's ever been, Lord. Thank you, and I worship you, Father. And we desire to pray that prayer of faith so the world may see that there is a God. Jesus, we worship you, and we praise you. Amen. Carl, or somebody was there, pass out the buckets, please. Pastor Bronk is right the other day. I can't seem to come up with exhortations on the offering. I don't know why. I'll ask myself within. I'll ask the Father. Anyway, just stand, please. What time is it? What time did I get done? Oh, that means I got 10 minutes? Did you have a good time tonight, honestly? Glory. Did you learn something? Are you learning the true biblical definition of how we grow in faith? Amen. 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 And is Jade with you? Is she? Yes. Hi, Jade. I want to tell her hi. She's a lot of fun. I've been coming to church here for years. Just come and just really, Stephen, let's be proper. We went out the other day, us and the young adults went out, me and my wife with the young adults, and she's a lot of fun. And I ask you to forgive me for all these years and not even saying a word to you.
I was in error. But she didn't say nothing to me either, so we're even. I'm just, but she's so much fun. We had a blast. We're going to plan something again pretty soon. Yeah, so Jade, me, my wife, we all love you. And we're going to bound in love towards each other. So I'm so thank you that you went with us. And she knows every song in the world. Every song in the world she knows. Hallelujah. Thank you. I love you more, Jade. Exceedingly more and abound. All right. Father, we thank you so much for this offering we're about to receive. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father, that we can edify. And then we thank you for the new nature that we can do. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, bless my brothers and my sisters everywhere that they go, Father. Open up doors for them for finances that they may grow exceedingly and sow seed into the kingdom after they pursue you, Father. Worship you and praise you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Love all of you. God bless.